Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
It is a character that I believe is very much misunderstood. And as a result, sorry for saying this, as a result of misunderstanding this character, it gets disrespected. Now, that word is sabr, sabr. You tell someone, usbir, be patient. And many times it happens, someone may tell you, what do you mean be patient? I'm not gonna be patient no more. Tell me something else to do. And they misunderstand the word sabr. As a result, they don't give it its due right. Allah says in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah loves those who are patient. And one of the people that really helped me understand it, brothers and sisters, was a teacher. I was actually teaching a class about character, about akhlaq. And I came to the topic of sabr. Then a teacher raised his hand and he said, brother, I just want to share with you something. I'm an English teacher. He said that about himself. And the word patience generally in English, not always, but generally, is more passive and not really active. But in Islam, when we say patience, sabr, it's very much active. You speak up, you work, you move, there's action involved. So that's why some people may have this misunderstanding. So let me start, inshallah, by telling you what does sabr mean in Arabic, though as I also always mention that definition sometimes can be dry, but it's very important for us to be on the same page. So what does sabr mean? Ready? Yalla, bismillah. What does sabr mean? When it comes to sabr, it's to stop, to withhold. And that comes into three aspects. A sabr means for your heart not to lose hope. Adam al-yas, that's the first one. You're not done yet. Number two, for your tongue not to complain about Allah. So number one, not to lose hope in Allah. Number two, not to complain about Allah. And number three, not to use your physical body into abuse and into sin, into haram. You see these three? That is what sabr kind of pushes us towards understanding in the Islamic context. So now with this understanding, when is it okay for you to lose your patience? When is it okay with that definition? The answer is never. It will never be okay for you to lose your patience from an Islamic definition that I just provided you with. Because it will never be okay for your heart to feel hopeless, al-yas. Never okay. It will never be okay for you to complain about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never. It will never be okay for you to use your body and physically abuse, whether yourself or others. That will never be okay. As a result, you shall never ever lose your patience and your sabr. As a result, sabr, what did Allah say about it in the Quran? إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ. Continue. أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah will reward the patient people in ways without accountability. The reward is open-ended. Just like how your patience should be open-ended and never comes to an end. Allahu Akbar. And you appreciate that, brothers and sisters. Now, when we want to go to the ayah, you're like, okay, brother, give me the ayah where Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. Let's jump to this ayah. Hold on. Before I jump to the ayah, I want to set the stage for you. Because this ayah, where it says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ, I'll tell you the details, inshallah, but it came after some verses Allah revealed after the battle of, who knows, after which battle? After the battle of Uhud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned a few things after the battle, and then He mentioned the ayah where Allah says He loves those who are patient. Yalla, let me inshallah reveal to you some of these incidents bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Muslimin were on this side, and Mushrikeen, the polytheist, kuffar, were on this side. Rasulullah, when he arrived to the battlefield, he told about 50 archers, Nirruma, to be on this mountain right here. So you see this mountain? This mountain, Rasulullah made sure right away he takes that spot first. Why? Because he believes if the people stayed here and did a good job, the mushrikeen will never be able to go behind and attack the Muslimin. They will never come behind. So these 50 are very important for them to stay in case any of these people even think to come this way, oh, you're done. You got 50 people shooting arrows at you. So Rasulullah ﷺ gives them a very clear command. What's that command? No matter what in the world happens, you never come down off this mountain. Even if you saw the Muslimin taking over the Mushrikeen and beating them and khalas and all of them, all of these enemies, they run away back to Mecca or whatever they go to. Still do not come down until I send you a note. Ibat Risala, then you can come down. So the Prophet ﷺ made the instructions very clear. If you also, on the other hand, on the opposite side, if the mushrikeen, they are the ones who took over the Muslimin. If the mushrikeen destroyed all the Muslims, you still do not go down. And instructions are very clear as the sun, okay, a bright sun. So Rasulullah said, until I send you a note or a command that now it's for you, are okay to come down. Until you get this note, you stay in your place regardless of what happens. Once again, just a reminder, so no one can come from this side, behind the mountain, all the way, and go from the back and attack the Muslimin. May Allah protect us and grant us guidance. Ameen. A quick fact about this battle. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims were approximately one-third the size of the Mushrikeen. So if the Muslims, for example, were about 700 or so, the Mushrikeen were about 3,000. This is an approximate number. But they're working hard, they're going to obey Allah and His Prophet ﷺ, and they're going to proceed in the battle. Brothers and sisters, the Muslims shook the Mushrikeen. They shook them. It doesn't make any sense from a numbers perspective, from preparation, from weapons. Allahumma barik, they took over. So much so that the Mushrikeen start to run away. They're leaving the battlefield. That's how bad it was. Until even Khalid ibn al-Walid, who was from the Mushrikeen at that time, he also was retreating backwards. Now the people on the mountain, they saw the Muslims being very victorious. And they said to themselves, this is a great victory. Alhamdulillah, we won, we won. The majority of the ones on that mountain, they wanted to go down and collect what the Mushrikeen left behind. They left a sword, they left something, a shield, to go celebrate. That's it. Muslims have clearly won. Brothers and sisters, some of the leaders onto that mountain, they said, guys, though we are winning clearly, and they're even fleeing away, we still are not allowed to go down until the Prophet sends us a note. But then the people said, I understand that's true, but you know, maybe it's like metaphor or whatever the case is. I don't know how they understood it as. But they're so in a desire to go down there and pick up the war gains and so on and celebrate. But guys, Rasulullah did not send a note. Remember what he told us? But brothers and sisters, the majority of the people on this mountain, they went down to the battlefield. They went down. And guess who was fleeing and noticed what's going on? It was Khalid ibn al-Walid. Khalid ibn al-Walid, at that time he was not a Muslim, radiallahu anhu. As he was going back to his hometown or Mecca or thinking of plan B, he was looking back to see how saddening that situation was. How can we be three times more than these people, more prepared and stronger, yet lose such loss? This is so sad. So as he was looking and looking and looking, he was shocked. He saw people coming down from this mountain. So Khalid ibn Walid, who was a genius in the military, he realized and he collected some soldiers with him. And he said, I think we can do this. I think we can turn the tables. So Khalid ibn Walid, he comes along with about a number of people on horses coming from this side. And when they came to this side, they actually climbed the mountain. You may say, yeah, but there, you said there's few people left. Yeah, there's only a few left. So the few could not handle Khalid ibn Walid and whoever remained with him. So Khalid, he jumps along with the people and they take down the Muslims that were on that mountain. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong and to Allah we shall return. The people who came down this mountain, they disobeyed one command of the Prophet ﷺ. One command, brothers and sisters. And then Khalid ibn Walid, he makes an announcement along with his team that for the mushrikeen, come back, come back. We got this, we got this. And you can imagine how the believers felt when they saw Khalid and the disbelievers from the behind. So Khalid and the disbelievers are here and here, and the Muslims in the middle, and it was a smash. It was a crash. And they were crushing the Muslims. May Allah forgive us and protect us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And brothers and sisters, one Sahabi after the other was dying. One Sahabi after the other was dying. So much so until an announcement was made, أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم قد مات. The Prophet of Allah has died. It's over. Can you imagine this announcement? How sad would the Sahaba feel? And yes, many of the Sahaba, the majority of them, dropped their weapons. Some of them left the battlefield thinking of plan B, C, and so on. And no one really wanted to proceed into this fighting. It was such a sad moment that only Allah knows exactly how the emotions were. Brothers and sisters, in the midst of all of this, Rasulullah was still alive, yes. And he was fighting, and every arrow of the mushrikeen now was directed to Muhammad. They heard his voice, they saw him, he's there. Long story short, with going into a lot of details, because I want to jump into the ayah, Wallahu yuhibbu as-sabirin. Brothers and sisters, the battle came to an end, and this was a big loss to the Muslimin. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his teeth into that battle. And he bled so much. And in that battle, he lost some of the grand Sahaba, such as Hamza bin Abd al-Muttalib radiallahu anhu, and Mus'ab radiallahu anhu. Brothers and sisters, Allah revealed some ayat about this situation. I would like to read it for you, inshaAllah. It is in Surah Ali Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'll pick some ayat. He says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah says, do you think that you will go to Jannah and Allah will not test you to determine who is truthful and who is truly patient, and to know those who are truly into that right path and mujahideen fi sabilillah? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ. You used to wish for this moment, wish to fight the enemy, wish to die fi sabilillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن تَلْقَوْهُ فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. And now you see death right before your eyes. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebukes the Muslimin. He says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Allah is saying, Muhammad is none but a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَإِمْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلْ. So if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he dies or he gets killed, إِنْ قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. You just give up. You just drop your weapons. You retreat and you go back. Allah is not pleased with that moment. Why did you not continue the battle? Are we fighting for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or are we fighting for Allah jalla jalalu? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rebuking them, radiallahu anhum, as into why did you feel that sense? So then Allah says, وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْ. And whoever just gives up like that, Allah says, فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. Allah will not be harmed. Allah's name will not be diminished. No. Then Allah says, وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Allah says, He will reward those who are grateful, those who continue to strive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I have to share with you this story about وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Before I go to the next ayah, what's that one? There's a good, beautiful moment in this battle. There's a lot, but this one is very special. Before the battle started, there was a man by the name of Anas ibn al-Nadr radiallahu anhu. He was the uncle of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, if I'm not mistaken. So Anas ibn al-Nadr, he says, I did not witness the battle of Badr, the previous one before Uhud. So he told the people, I will show Allah, لَأُرِيَنَّ اللَّهِ مَا أُجِدُّ, what I will do in the next battle. We meet the mushrikeen. And the battle came, which is Uhud. It came. So when after this chaos took place and the Muslimin left this mountain and Khalid is here and the mushrikeen are here and there's a big clamp, the Muslimin were running away. But who was going the opposite direction and fighting the mushrikeen? It was Anas ibn al-Nadr. Allahu Akbar. He make a promise that I will show the mushrikeen. I will show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what I have against the mushrikeen. So as he was fighting, even though the announcement was made that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away, he still went forward. Until a sahabi, a grand sahabi, sahabi azim wa jaleel, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu an, he saw Anas ibn al-Nadr. He says, ila ayn, where are you going? So Anas says, to continue the fight. So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he told him, like, have you not heard what happened? So then Anas ibn al-Nadr was very disappointed. So he said two things. He says, Allahumma la tu'akhidni. Oh Allah, don't punish me. Like, please accept my apology on their behalf for what they did from leaving this mountain and leaving this battlefield. He's apologizing to Allah for what the Muslims have done. And he also says that, Ya Allah, please take care of the mushrikeen, as in, you know, do what you have to do towards them. And he is free from the mushrikeen. Then Anas ibn al-Nadr, he proceeded towards the battle. Brothers and sisters, as Anas ibn al-Nadr was proceeding towards Jabal Uhud, fighting, you know what he told Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh in an authentic hadith? He says, إِنِّي لَا أَشُمُّ رَائِحَةَ جَنَّةَ. I smell the Jannah. Jannah? Yes, he said, I smell Jannah right next to Uhud. And the battle ended, brothers and sisters. And no one knows what happened to Anas ibn al-Nadr until after the battle, when the people were checking the bodies of the Muslimin that passed away. They saw a man with over 80 wounds, 80 ta'na wa darbat rumh, from an arrow being shot, and a stab, and a hit here and there. So much so that they did not know who he was. No one knows who this man is. Until a lady came, she said, that's my brother. How did she know him? From his ring. And that brother was Anas ibn al-Nadr. من المؤمنين رجال. Allah revealed an ayah, some ulama said, about this situation. من المؤمنين رجال. Amongst the believers are true men and women. صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه. They fulfilled the promise they gave to Allah. Anas ibn al-Nadr, he gave a promise. I will show Allah what I got the next battle. وسيجزي الله الشاكرين. Allah will reward those who are grateful. So brothers and sisters, after this ayah, and then the ayah comes after it. Allah says, وَكَأَيِّ مِن نَبِيٍّ. Here it is. This is the deal where Allah says He loves the sabirin. Ready? Allah says, وَكَأَيِّ مِن نَبِيٍّ. How many prophets? كَمْ نَبِي جَاءَ مِن قَبْلٍ. وَكَأَيِّ مِن نَبِيٍّ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٍ. There were several prophets in the past, along with their companions, who true believers, مؤمنين, حَقَّ الْإِيمَانِ. What happened? They fought في سبيل الله سبحانه وتعالى. Then Allah says in the Quran, فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. These people never ever got weakened, brothers and sisters, mentally and physically. No, not physically. Mentally, they were never, you know, torn down in a way that...
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
They saw their brothers and sisters passing away. And in one understanding, you know what it means, the tafsir of it? That even when the Prophet, their leader, died, they continued. Allahu Akbar, fi sabilillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Then Allah says, وَمَا ضَعُفُوا. And they were not weakened or lost courage. They continued. Number three, وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. And though they lost many of their believing brothers and sisters in this battlefield, and in one narration even lost the Prophet himself, they still fought. And they did not give in, and they refused to surrender to the enemy. وَمَسْتَكَانُوا. Then Allah says, what did He say? وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. That's the sabr. That's the real patience. Everything is gone. Rasulullah ﷺ, their prophet, is gone. Some of their companions is gone, but they know that's how they will win. This is what Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. When the Prophet died, what did Abu Bakr as-Siddiq say? When the Muslimin, they were shocked, they couldn't believe what's going on. Is it really the Prophet died? Even some said, no, he went to meet Allah and he's coming back. It was denial. But Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he came and he said a very famous statement in Sahih al-Bukhari. He says, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَدْ مَاتْ. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. Whoever used to worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then know that he passed away. And whoever used to worship Allah, then know that Allah is all living and will never die. Then he mentioned the ayah I just told you. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our deen, does not die with the death of anyone. Our deen, Islam, does not die with the death of anyone, even if it was the death of the greatest man, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And the deen is not dependent on you and is not dependent on me. Today, if I go away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable to replace me with someone a million times better and also replace you with someone a million times better. So don't feel, oh, if I don't do it, who will carry the deen? No, the deen will be carried and the deen will be honored, inshallah. But brothers and sisters, you have to realize something. This is the true patience. To be patient on the ta'ah, because patience has three parts to it. There's a sabr on what? Let me show you really quick, this to change this image for you. The sabr, as we mentioned, there's no time that comes to an end for it. The patient will be rewarded with no accountability. Reward, infinity. A check. Your name is on the check. Majid Mahmood. Okay. Signature. Tawqi'. Tamam. What's the amount? Infinity. No balance, as in like unlimited. Brothers and sisters, there's patience towards obligations. There's patience towards the haram, as in staying away from it. And there's patience towards the calamities and hardships. And here, one of the main highlights is sabr ala ta'ah, to be patient towards the obligations. Yes, be strong. Wa'iddu lahum. Yes, have big biceps and triceps and all the and the abs and this and that and the push-ups, all the good stuff, okay? Don't get me wrong. But the real strength, as-sabr al-ta'ah, the real deal, is not to bench press 300 pounds, as Mufti Mink mentioned. But the strong person is the one who bench presses the blanket to wake up for Fajr. That's the real strength. To as-sabr al-ta'ah, the patience that Allah loves. Wallahu yuhibbu as-sabirin. You have your friends maybe or colleagues are sleeping till 8 a.m. And you have others who may not be fasting. And maybe even you're the only one in the household that is a Muslim and is practicing. But against all of that, you are patient. I would like to give you some news. Insha'Allah, you are of those whom Allah loves. Wallahu yuhibbu as-sabirin. Because you struggled and you tried. And you know the true patient people. You know what their concern is. It's not about Allah fulfilling His promise. It's about their side of things. Why? Because after Allah says, Wallahu yuhibbu as-sabirin, He came to another ayah. These people, Allah said, the believers with the prophets from the past, the prophet would to die and they still would to fight. Yes or no? That's what Allah says in the Quran. قَاتَلَ مَعُهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ فَمَا وَهَنُوا. They never gave up and they kept fighting. But do you know what they said in the battlefield? Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلَهُمْ. And what they said in the battlefield. What do you think they said في المعركة? إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا. What? They said, O Allah, forgive us for our minor and major sins. Ya Allah, forgive us and wipe the sins away from us. You are putting your life on the line for the sake of Allah, the greatest deed in the planet. And now you're saying, O Allah, please forgive me. Are you serious? You're actually worried? Look to what you're doing. And even if you did small mistakes, the jihad that you're doing and for the sake of Allah, legitimate and wise, yes, you know why? Because these people know from the previous generations of previous prophets, al-ribbiyun, that real true believers, they know that victory, al-nasr, laysa bil-udda. It's not about how much weapons people have, how big of an army it is, how well prepared they are. No, it's about their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know that there's a battle they have to win before they win the battle in the ground. There's a battle within themselves. And nafs al-ammara bis-su. They have to overcome the evil within themselves and beat their love to the dunya and make their love to the akhirah. So that's their concern. They know if I'm able to make tawbah to Allah, seek His forgiveness and be patient, then for sure Allah will make me victorious, because it was never about numbers and it will never be about numbers. Yes, yes. Allah told us to be prepared. Allah told us prepare as much as you possibly can. But Allah also teaches us it's not about your preparation in terms of the weapons and the soldiers and the size of the strength that people have externally. Rather, it's the iman and the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they said, وثبت أقدامنا. يا الله make us steadfast, يا الله and strong, وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين, and make us victorious over these oppressors, the disbelievers. The last ayah, what did Allah say? فآتاهم, Allah gave them. What did Allah give them? Look what Allah gave them. فآتاهم الله ثواب الدنيا. He gave them the best of this world. They won. These people have won against the disbelievers. Now, I talk about previous generations. وحسن ثواب الآخرة. And Allah gave them the reward of Jannah. والله يحب المحسنين. And Allah loves the محسنين. Yeah, we spoke about المحسنين in the second session. And المحسنين here, just to kind of explain, والله يحب الصابرين, والله يحب المحسنين. To explain this, pay close attention to me. الإحسان is a big circle. And الصبر, when you want to excel in it, that's one category. But ihsan is an excellence in as many categories as possible. So wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin, they combined the package. They did great in sabr. They did great in repentance. They did mid-du'a aghfir lana. And they did great into preparation into the battlefield. And they did great into making du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin here. So you appreciate the patience. May Allah make you of those who have that patience towards a ta'a. Yes, fasting can make you exhausted, but know that Allah will love you. Wallahi, that's one of the greatest motives to ever show anyone. Allah will love you if you are patient towards your salah. I have a brother who just spoke to me about salah and the struggle and so on. Ya akhi, bismillah, man up. We shouldn't be saying salah is weak. We should really look at it as a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know that Allah will reward me if I wake up for fajr. It's a struggle, but wallahi, it's very fruitful. And I want to share with you something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this after the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, they were rebuked by Allah. Allah did not like what they did. So when Allah gave them this example to show them that you guys are not canceled. You're not canceled. Oh, ma'us min amrikum. La, Sahaba, they learned. Okay, so I go back in history and I learn. When your mom and dad, they tell you, look at that brother, look at that sister. They're not because to put you down. Be like the Sahaba. They learned from the past. Allah says, there were prophets before you, and there were companions before you, previous prophets, who did a great job. رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ فَمَا وَهَنُوا. Not because Sahaba like, oh, we're losers. No, we're going to learn, and we will grow, and we will fix our mistakes. And that's what happened. The Sahaba, they became of the sabirin, and after that, they became of the victorious, and Allah rewarded them with victory. Brothers and sisters, let me go, inshallah, to give you an example now from one of the great sisters about to display the meaning of being very steadfast upon the deen. No matter what happens, I will never give up my deen. What does the khatib say in the salah? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ittaqu Allah haqqa tuqatih, wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Be patient and do whatever is necessary for you to die as a Muslim. Whatever it takes, may Allah grant us ease and blessings, Ameer Rabbil Alameen. This wonderful role model, brothers and sisters, is none other than the hairdresser of the daughter of Fir'aun, one of the most evil people that ever walked on earth. Many of you perhaps know the story, but this is a perfect timing, inshallah, to mention this wonderful lady to teach us, you and I, the true meaning of patience upon the ta'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isbir. She was combing the hair of the daughter of Pharaoh. Then that comb fell onto the ground. So when she went to go pick it up, she said, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. So then that daughter, she heard that. She said, you have a Lord other than my father? Then she said, Rabbi wa Rabbuki Allah, my Lord and your Lord is Allah. So she said, I will tell my dad. She said, go tell your dad. Rabbi wa Rabbuki wa Rabbu Abiki Allah, my Lord, your dad's Lord is Allah. Then Fir'aun, he heard that, he brought that lady. What is it that I'm hearing here? She said, yes, my Lord and your Lord is Allah. So فَأَمَرَ بِأَوْلَادِهَا, so he brought all her kids. وَبِنُحَاسِ, some like a bowl of copper filled with boiling water and one race perhaps boiling oil. So he threatened her, if you do not change what you're saying, I will throw one child after the other. And she said, Rabbi wa Rabbuka Allah, my Lord and your Lord is Allah. And she had all these children and she had one infant that she was holding. So they would throw the first child right in front of her eyes, being thrown into that boiling oil. Imagine the skin shrinking and the bones being taken out of the skin. May Allah protect us and safeguard our kids and our loved ones. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. But that what she went through. And why does the Prophet share this story with us? No. Why did Allah tell that story to Jibreel to tell it to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? For you and I in 2021 to be strong, to isbir. Don't just give up just like that. There's a story of a sister I was involved in to know what happened, try to solve it as much as I possibly can. What's the matter? She took off her hijab. Tabwa, ya ukhti, what happened? She said, I left campus. Okay, no, I was leaving the campus and I went to my car and I saw the car was scratched with a key and the paint was being peeled off and some bad words about Muslims. You took off your hijab. And knowing the situation, that was the wrong move. There's 100 other steps or so to be taken. Isbir ala al-haq. The first step you took is to let go of the haq. La, that's not how it goes. There's other avenues to be done. You call campus police, you check the surveillance, you make a police report. You get to get this guy and find out who he is and he get to be taught a lesson and be held accountable. Don't be giving up your deen just like that. And if you had to and there's no option, then find a way, maybe move to another university or another place or do something about it. But don't just sell your deen just like that or sell a part of it. May Allah grant us wisdom and strength. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. So this lady, she saw one of her kids being thrown, the second one, until it came to that little baby she was holding. So then the soldiers were trying to grab the baby. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the baby spoke. تكلم الطفل. What did he say? Ya ummah, mom, ummi, isbiri fa'innaki ala al-haq. Mom, be patient. You are upon the truth. Allahu Akbar. Then they pushed both the mom and the infant into that boiling pot and they all passed away. Sabr ala al-haq. Ya akhi, we have to be strong. One word from here, one criticism from there about the deen. Yalla, sheel al-luhya. Yalla, sheel. Do the hijab somewhere different. Make it like this. La, don't pray here. Don't do that. Don't say the word salamu alaykum at work. Ya akhi, man up. Where are we living? Alhamdulillah, we're living, to the most part, the audience that we have, because I know some situations, you have a very extreme side of things, that's understandable. But the majority of our audience live in the United States or in Canada. You got rights. You got to be stronger than that. May Allah grant us all strength and patience. And I'm not belittling your pain or my pain. But what I'm trying to remind myself, there's those who faced far more difficulty than you and I put together, and they persevered. And Allah showed us how he gave him success. Let me tell you the success of that lady. Well, how do you know? Oh, I know, because we know from the authentic narrations. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he went to the famous trip of Al-Isra, when he went all the way to Allah, Isra ibn al-Mi'raj, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, shamamtu ra'ihatan tayyiba, a beautiful smell. Ya Jibreel, ma hadhihi ar-ra'iha? Oh Jibreel, what's this beautiful smell? This is amazing. Never smelt anything like that before. So Jibreel tells him, hadhihi ma shitatu binti fir'aun wa awladiha. This is the hairdresser of the daughter of Pharaoh and all her kids enjoying their time in Jannah. Brothers and sisters, the reward is there. And you have to realize something. I'll end with this, inshallah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam got the wahi, the revelation, Khadija radiallahu anha, she took the Prophet to her uncle, Waraqa ibn Nawfal. Correct? Waraqa ibn Nawfal told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Laytani kuntu fiha, I wish I was a young man. Shab, qawi. Why? To fight them and defend you, ya Muhammad, when they want to kick you out of Mecca. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أمخرجيهم, my people, قومي, يخرجوني, they will take me out from Mecca because of the wahi I just received. This is fresh Islam. This is like few days into revelation. So then Waraqa ibn Nawfal said what? No one ever came with what you have إلا عودي. ما أحد يأتي بالحق إلا له أعداء. No one will ever come with the truth except that there are enemies. So that's why sometimes one wonders. If I have no enemies, then I might not be on the truth as much as I should be. May Allah protect us and grant us wisdom. Of course, from place to place, may Allah grant us success. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.